B-Pod Studios.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Okay, so we were just talking about the Avengers Endgame coming out and how it's probably going to end up being one of the biggest movies of all time, at least from the initial weekend.
Oh, sure.
It'll be massive.
Yeah.
And another thing that was also released this past week was the trailer for the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Okay, so we were just talking about the Avengers Endgame coming out and how it's probably going to end up being one of the biggest movies of all time, at least from the initial weekend.
Oh, sure.
It'll be massive.
Yeah.
And another thing that was also released this past week was the trailer for the brand new Star Wars film, which was called The Rise of Skywalker.
Why is that pissing people off? The name The Rise of Skywalker is making people mad for some reason.
Because at the end of The Last Jedi, they put forth a storyline that Rian Johnson, the director, I guess, ended up kind of calling a shot on, that Rey is not indeed a Skywalker, is that her parents were just nobodies and that anybody can be a Jedi. And most people thought that that was, hey, kind of a cool twist. Maybe they're not related. And now The Rise of Skywalker, people are going, oh, apparently he's going back because of backlash against The Last Jedi. Dude, I don't know. I mean, that's I'm pretty damn nerdy when it comes to stuff. That's like next level nerddom.
Wait, something happened at the end of the Jedi movie?
Yeah, The Last Jedi. Yeah, where it was like they said that the whole time you thought Rey had these parents that were somebody special.
Oh, not Return of the Jedi. What was the one with the Muppets in it?
That was Return of the Jedi. Yeah, this is The Last Jedi.
Oh, I just never saw The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi's all right. Man, a lot of people did not like the way that they went against what they thought the traditional Star Wars canon.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's one person who I've become obsessed with on Twitter now who has a little bit against the old Star Wars movie. This gentleman's name is Mr. Plenty on Twitter.
Because I'm good at Plenty.
All right, he's Mr. Plenty. And he put out a tweet that said, never seen Star Wars. None of them. Never will. Oh my God, you're missing out. Maybe. You're missing out on being a multimillionaire. Keep your movie. And then, Fred, what's that picture he tweeted out?
He is in front of a nice car, a Bentley,
mm-hmm.
at a Bentley dealership. And he is dressed like a douche. But I just like that he went to the Bentley dealership. This is for sure my car.
Well, that's what everyone's saying. It's like, dude, there's no way.
He might as well just been in the showroom and said, look at my fleet of Bentleys that I will buy imaginarily.
So the next picture, or the next tweet was, not your car. It has my last name on the license plate. Tate. T8. He goes, too much Star Wars makes you dumb. And there's a video of him smoking a sweet stogie while driving it down the street.
Why is the wheel on the wrong side?
He might be overseas.
But okay, he couldn't. Is there a guy in the back seat from the dealership saying, sir, please don't smoke?
Film me, don't mind. He goes, guys, I have more cars that I stand next to, too. If you want to learn how to make money like me, check me out. And so there's a picture of him like in all these cars, the old test drive.
Is this a parody account or is this guy for real?
No, he's for real. And I dug because it was so over the top douchey.
Right.
Then I'm like, there's no way this guy is real. So I went to his website and it's CobraTate.com.
Oh, right? He's like Cobra Kai. He's all badass.
All right. So apparently he did a little kickboxing at one point and now he's just telling you how to not only make mad cheddar, but also how to sling it with the ladies.
Oh, he's like a modern day Tom Vu.
Pretty much. And he's got all these classes and stuff that he offers. And let's just say that this gentleman, for all you guys out there who aren't having luck with ladies, thank goodness. A little secret for you. CobraTate.com. Pay whatever he asks. Whatever he asks. Because this is the kind
you
of advice. You
want to slay some babes.
So he's got a video on there called The Art of Attracting Women. Now, of course, he films this from the inside of the same car.
I wonder if he lives in the Bentley.
So shall we get to Mr. Plenty?
All right. So first of all, God bless him for having a Bentley. But here we go. He's inside the Bentley. He seems to spend a lot of time in there.
Smoking a cigar once again.
There's nothing that proves that you are rich more than a cigar. A nice Swisher Sweets. If you got a cigar, well, you're automatically.
It's like having
a monocle. It's like you're ultimately. That's old money right there.
You have a cigar, it's like old money?
Yeah. You can tell a guy's got old money.
Well, there's a tweet that he just tweeted 4 hours ago. It's a picture of him smoking a cigar.
Oh, my God.
And it says sunglasses, $800. Cigar, $150. Jacket, $4,100. T-shirt, Dolce, $200. Watch, $29,000. He goes, dinner was $600. I got $700,000 of cars out front. The lifestyle would require 13 years for you to save for.
Well, that'll take a lot more than 13 years. That's what he's doing. All right.
So this is one of his videos on how to get the chicks.
All right. I want to know how to get some more booty in my life. I can't lie to you.
Getting girls is easy. What I do is I retain women.
Yeah. What I do is I make it so they can't escape. Getting women's easy. Tying them up is hard.
That's somewhat illegal, sir.
Sounds very R. Kelly-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is I retain women.
Getting girls is easy. What I do is I retain women. Not only do I retain women, I train them to be the way I want them to be.
Oh, that is... that's nice.
I would say this is exactly like R. Kelly.
I train them.
Who's watching this going, that's exactly what I want.
And then like girls... And then way to put a video out, like girls are like, hey, I'd like to be a kept woman who's trained to serve this guy's every whim. He's got a Bentley after all and smokes cigars.
I make them fiercely loyal. They allow me to fuck other women. They do anything I say. I know how to motivate my woman to want to be good for me, to want to be loyal to me, to want to allow me to go fuck other girls. I know the game from the ground up. How to sleep with them, because that's only half the game. How to sleep with a woman's only half the game. Most of you guys are out here trying to learn it.
Yeah, that's really half the game. Oh, darn it. I just had sex with this woman. If only I could train her to stick around.
I think most people want the game to be over after the first quarter.
That's the thing, is that I'm saying, like, oh, no, I had sex with this woman, and now she's gone. Like, who's that? If only I could find a way for her to hang around. Wait, you have the secret of once a girl has sex with you, for her to, like, want a date? My God, you've cracked the code, sir. Getting laid is only half the battle. In what world? This guy must have had some bad experiences. This guy must be a premature Joe. One stroke joke. Here's the thing. Is that you cannot get an erection and piss the girl off and still get her to go out with you again.
How to sleep with them, because that's only half the game. How to sleep with a woman's only half the game. Most of you guys are out here trying to learn it. Oh, how do I sleep with girls? Like, that's the most important thing. Sleeping with women is so f***ing easy. I can sleep with, if I were to go out every night this week, I would sleep with 4 to 5 new women. Minimum. So sleeping with them's easy. From there, it's which ones are worth keeping, which ones are high value, which ones aren't, which ones are the ones you want to add to your ream, which ones you want to keep on the f***ing DL, which ones you want to get rid of right away.
Keeping the ream?
Yeah.
Every woman's just like, oh, take me, please.
Yes.
Take me. I want to be in your ream.
I want to be compared to a roll of paper.
Which ones do you want to get rid of right away? How do you tell? How do you turn them into a woman of value? How do you make them respect you? How do you ensure they're loyal? All these, that's where the real game is. Game is saying to your girl, I'm going to Thailand for 3 months. She knows you're going to be everything that moves. And no,
that reeks of nothing going wrong.
I'm going to Thailand
for 3 months. Why?
I would say, well, that's not good. There's a little bit of your reputation, I think.
Yeah, just now, why are you going there? Why Thailand?
Why that specific place?
Yeah. And why 3 months? What are you planning on?
And knowing that she's at home, loyal to you fiercely. That's what game is. Game is knowing that there is a 0% chance your woman will cheat on you. So in this course, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to give you the ins and outs secrets of my life. Like I said, if you doubt my credentials, that's a mistake. But when this video starts, I'm going to explain again my credentials. I'm going to tell you the story of when I was running 75 women. I'm going to explain to you who my current girlfriends are, pictures of them, when I met them, how long I've been with them, the good things and bad things about...
Pictures of them? Where would you procure such evidence?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Plenty. You finally included me in one of your videos. I feel so honored. May I stay in your ream?
Well, you can't doubt that he's dating him if he has pictures of him.
The good things and bad things about each one. I'm going to break it down. Who gets threesomed with who? Who sleeps where? I'm going to break it all down to my current situation so you know exactly that I know what I'm talking about. Your sex ain't on point. Your relationship ain't on point. Your girlfriend's cheating on you. You're always going to be miserable. Your girl won't even make you a coffee when you tell her to. I wake up every day in bed and say, first words out of my mouth, coffee. And she gets her ass up and makes it.
That's right. He's cracked the code.
Wow.
Plus, I mean, to get someone to make you a cup of coffee.
Unbelievable.
What planet are we on?
Here I am, a fool just buying an espresso machine. or maybe a $30 coffee maker with an alarm on it.
Or no, or just saying, hey, would you mind, if you're getting up, get me old cup of Joe. How did you get this magic?
She won't even listen to you. She won't even cook for you. She won't even obey you. She wants to go out with her friends and you say no, she still goes. You guys live in some f***ing chump life and I'm going to fix it. You're going to go on a date with a girl, blow $200 buying her dinner, and then she's going to run off and f*** someone else the week after and she ain't going to be in your house cleaning your car because you don't know what you're doing.
I mean, just you listen, you're so Captain Romance.
This guy is, how many times has this happened?
This guy is very concerned about his women cheating on him.
And not cleaning his car.
I mean, if you're so great, I mean, why wouldn't you let... Who doesn't want their girl to go out with their friends? Go, leave. Please.
A little time on my own.
Yeah.
This is great because not if you think that he's just a master, by the way, he's not just a master of getting chicks. But this super king also has classes in body language, how to make money, fitness training, master chess. He'll kick your ass in chess while he's on
that.
All
brings the women in.
Well, that's how chess. The whole mind game. He knows.
Sit down and play some chess. And
then, five moves ahead of you.
And then there's a class in how to network, and it's got a picture of him shaking hands with, surprise, Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, wow.
Well, oddly enough, that doesn't shock me.
We're in the same circles.
I mean, if you listen. Oh, also, how to fire guns. He's got a class on that.
How to fire guns. What? How long a video is that? Put index finger on trigger and pull.
Hey, God. Does he have one? Okay, apparently he goes off on a rant called Ghosts Are Not Real.
That sounds like he's scared. He's under the covers.
With a flashlight.
All these girls are just aberrations in his mind.
Should we try to get this guy on?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, we need to get him on.
All right. We're going to talk to Mike Gorman, who also has a similar course in how to play chess and retain your woman. We will talk to him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On the Sports Hub app. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Today was my first day actually being able to walk without grimacing and really in any pain. It still hurts real bad for me to laugh, to cough, to sneeze, but the everyday stuff is getting better, walking, being able to get out of bed and things like that. So, you know, we're making great progress.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston.
By the way, does that clip right there scare you a little bit about Marcus Morris.
Yeah, if you can't cough or laugh, I mean, yeah.
Because that sounds worse than what I thought he was going through. I mean, he's just now able to walk around with no pain. And
he has to be in the water to make sure he can walk without any discomfort. I mean, this is not good.
No, it doesn't sound like a guy who's going to be ready to play no matter how tough he is. Mike Gorman is voice of the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Mike Gorman.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah, my wife and kids are going out to my father-in-law's house, and I don't have to join them. So it's an outstanding week.
Ah, all right.
You know what I'm going to do with my time?
No, what are you going to do?
Masturbate in every room.
Right.
And I got a lot of rooms, baby.
Rich, you there?
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
He saves it all for you, Mike. He does.
John, you there?
I'm here, Mike. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Hey, good. Sports, huh?
Hi.
So listen.
Have you been over to Fred's house lately?
I'm not sitting on any of the furniture.
No, it's been a while.
It's all standing up.
they give you gloves at the door?
And a blue light.
Right. Yeah.
They just give you a handful of tissues and a sock.
Like one of the dudes from Outbreak. The yellow
hazmat suit. Yeah.
Sure.
Just don't pick up the socks.
No, I will not make sure to pick up the socks. All right, so let's completely do a screeching turn. What did you think of Marcus Smart's comments yesterday? That was a little bit more disturbing than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, a little more depressing. I've been of the school all along that he's going to be out longer than people are saying. He's got a great personality, and his toughness will try to get him back early. But the more people I talk to about this particular injury, the more they say it takes a long time to come back. So I'm not optimistic about his quick return.
Well, the second half of that Pacers game, it seemed like they tried to make up for the lack of Marcus Smart. It's almost like they forgot in the first half that they don't have Marcus Smart. They weren't playing hard or physical. And then the second half, they're like, oh, yeah, we have to do something to make up for that. And it seemed like a completely different game. What did you make of the whole Jekyll and Hyde feel of that game one?
Yeah, I think they feel a certain amount of pressure because they seem to be the consensus to advance in the series, and that the Pacers are going to have a hard time scoring the ball without Oladipo, which they had a dreadfully hard time scoring in the second half. I wrote the first half off to just the beginning of game one of a playoff series, but I just don't know where Indiana can get points. I think they play hard. The Celtics seem to have figured out Bogdanovich, which is the guy who had, against other teams anyway, had been making up the point differential that with Oladipo gone, doesn't seem to be able to do that against Boston, even with Marcus Smart not present. So I just don't see where the Pacers get points. And so I think they're condemned to be somewhere between 70 and 90 every game. And if that's the case, this series will be over quickly.
Now, Tommy called it, and maybe it's just because he's as big of a homer as we get, but he did. Like, at the end of the first half, as horribly as they were playing, he made a statement along the lines of, the Celtics in the second half are just going to go off. He predicted that they were going to make that run. Was it just that he's Tommy Heinsohn, or did he sense something? And if so, what was it?
Well, what you have to ask him. I think he did sense something, though. Again, I think he looked around at this Pacer team and said, well, who's going to beat me here? And couldn't come up with any answers. Turner's been missing from the games at the end of the season against Indiana and the first game of the playoffs here. I would have expected more out of him. Again, the Celtics seem to have Bogdanovich's number. And then you're talking about looking for Tyreke Evans, guys like that to come off the bench and score. Collison didn't play well at all the other day. I think they're a well-coached team. I think they do come out and they play hard. I think Sabonis is a player you have to pay attention to, and the Celtics are doing a good job of paying attention to him. I just don't see where Indiana can score enough points to win more than one game. That would be a surprise to me right now.
One of the questions that was asked of Brad Stevens yesterday was to possibility of changing his lineup. Jaylen Brown did a great job on Bogdanovich, I thought, especially in the first half. But he didn't contribute much on the offensive end, and the Celtics started so poorly on the offensive end. Do you think Brad Stevens will entertain changing anything?
I don't think he will, John, mostly because again, I can sound like a broken record here, but it's not like by changing something or playing better defensively, they're gonna hold them down. Again, Indiana's not going to go out 21-2 or 18-4 to open the game against you. They just can't score points that quickly and can't come up with guys who can score that many points. So I don't see any reason for Brad to change the lineup. He'll stay with what he's got, I think. Jalen should be starting.
All right. So when you look at the chemistry of the team and how we've all been waiting for this moment for them to come out and actually play games that are worth it. Kyrie has been saying the whole time, just wait for the playoffs. Are you feeling anything different? Does this seem like a different team than it did, you know, maybe not the last like week or two before the playoffs, but at least maybe like a month ago?
Well, I think they do have benefits from the fresh start that everybody's 0-0. I think that's helped them a lot mentally because it takes some of the expectation level that some people feel they never reached. And that was the deep reoccurring theme all season long. Now they have a chance to just turn the page and go to a brand new notebook. And I think they did that successfully the other night. And I think you'll see again more halves like the second half of last night than of game one rather than the first half of game one.
Gordon Hayward only shot 4 of 12 in game number one, but I still liked his overall game. He still looks good. He's still attacking the basket, and I think the numbers are a little bit deceiving. I thought he played pretty well in game one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Gordon does a lot of different things out there, but one of the things he does most of his offense is he keeps the pace, he keeps the pressure going. His first tendency is not to shoot the ball. His tendency is to pass it or drive to the basket, and then shoot the ball seems to be the third option. I agree with you. I think he played very well. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I think he's the key. As long as he continues to play well, if he gets 20 to 25 points, that's a bonus. But as long as he gets somewhere between 12 and 18 points a game and does his other things, Boston's going to do very well, at least in the first round of this playoff series. We'll see what happens as they go forward.
Looking at the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs, obviously Milwaukee is not going to have any trouble with Detroit, who's without Blake Griffin probably for the series. But watching the Toronto series and watching the Philadelphia series, I was a little bit surprised. Both of those teams are struggling a little bit.
Yeah, they are. Toronto bounced back last night. I watched a lot of that game. Kawhi Leonard is really, he's just a terrific, terrific player. And Philly came back big strong and scored 148 points or whatever it was in game two of their series. I still think that series is going to go a while. D'Angelo Russell is playing great basketball for Brooklyn, and it'll be a good crowd in New York, in the New York area when they get back to Brooklyn. So that series may go for a while. I think Toronto may have righted the ship last night, as well as Orlando has played down the stretch. It's a different story. And home court in Orlando really isn't a big deal. You know, it's a lot of people who came to Disney or Universal Studios who are looking for something to do at night with their kids, so they come to the game, but aren't necessarily fans. So I don't think the home court in Orlando is really a big deal, and I think Toronto will be able to capitalize on that. I still think form will hold in terms of the seeds in the playoffs.
How pissed are you when people watch the other broadcast instead of yours when you go head-to-head?
I'm not pissed. I'm disappointed. I think we provide if you're a Celtic fan, we provide a much better product, obviously, because we're rooting for the Celtics, but because you have Tommy, and you know, Tommy's a once in a lifetime guy to listen to do games, and sort of especially playoff games. So to pass up the opportunity to do that, to listen to a couple of guys who got their notes the night before and haven't seen the Celtics play in weeks, seems like a silly thing to do.
Whatever happened to the idea of the Tommy cam that people are going to be able to pull up on their computers, where it was just constantly on Tommy?
Yeah, I know. I push hard for that. Every year I push hard for that. We do have the camera set up. You see, they take those occasional shots of the two of us. We have one of those little GoPro type of cameras set up on a table that's on us all the time. I still think I should just squeeze it into a box and put Tommy down in the corner.
Do you know the amount of like bets you could do? You could put bets on that, like the amount of cookies he crushes during the game, the amount of time he boxes you out.
It would be priceless. It would be just great video. The other night, I purposely waited for him to get like a large bite of this oatmeal cookie before I asked him a question. I just know if you're paying any attention at home, you're just going, Tommy's eating right now.
So he does one of those. Well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he says the well. He gets the well exactly. Out, and then you got to wait a little bit.
It would be innovative, which means your network will never do it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're back, Fred. What room are you in?
I'm sorry. I was doing what we talked about earlier.
He was in one of his bedrooms temporarily.
Oh, you're in master control? What are you doing?
I'm just soaking in the info, sir. I'm just, okay. I'm just, listen, I'm a fly on the wall with the B-ball boys and you. That's how I roll.
Yeah. You have a lot of flies in your walls. Yeah.
What are you saying? I live in a hovel?
No. Well, you're the one who's telling me what you're going to do with your wife and kids away. See? I don't even
want
to go back to that.
Anyway. Wait. See, what are you like?
It's a mistake.
Are you a monk?
It's a mistake.
Shouldn't have done that. What are you, some kind of monk? You're above that? I mean, come on. Self-pleasure?
Something wrong with my connection here. I don't hear anything.
You're on the road. You can't go to sleep.
Mike, thanks for coming on.
You turn on, the Cinemax. I roll old school, baby. Give me a good 20 minutes before I see boobs. That's what I want. Let me wait around and follow some horrible dialogue before I can get into it. It's the anticipation, my friend. You know, sometimes the chase is better than the catch. God. You know?
Rich and John, it's been a pleasure.
It's been excellent.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
All right, Mike Gorman, on tonight. Everyone watch the NBC Sports Boston. Do not watch the national broadcast.
Right. If we've learned anything.
Everyone watch Mike Gorman.
Right.
And if you have to take a nap.
He'll be watching you in every room tonight.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. God. No. I just use my own imagination.
All right.
And just think of Delta Burke when she was thin. All right, Mike Gorman.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. Mike Gorman, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why I went number one.
That's right. That's the clip I want to send right there to the awards people.
I don't know.
The last 15 minutes.
You got to give the people what they want.
You think?
Yep.
That was good.
Yep.
Should do that with Danny tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nah. He wouldn't like it. I don't think he'd like that. Because I don't think he does it or has ever done it, if you ask me.
Why don't you ask him?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to sever our relationship.
Okay. All right.
If he was if he wasn't religious, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd ask Cassidy, and he'd be like, yep.
Well, Cassidy's great. Yeah. He'll just answer anything.
Yeah. If you're
Cassidy's one of the best interviews we have.
Belichick's going to be doing some press before the draft. Just ask him about it.
It is what it is.
That's right.
You know? 67-year-old man. Sometimes you got to, it doesn't mean you're dead.
We're on to the next room.
On to the next video.
That's a Dan joke. That was good, Dan.
That was very good.
All right, I don't like this. We're on to the next video. This is a killer threesome.
Hang on. Is that porn reviewer Bill Belichick?
Pornhub Bill Belichick. I put in threesome, but it's two dudes and a girl. Next. I didn't come here to see a sword fight. All right, so what do we have here? They promised two women, but so far there's just a secretary and her boss. I'll give it about 2 minutes. Oh, here comes the person with the resume. Attractive lady. Yep, now they're doing it.
Bill Belichick, Pornhub reviewer.
Yep. Well, this is a solo scene. Oh. This is nothing but a solo scene. Oh, there he goes. Yeah, yeah, give me some of that threesome stuff.
It doesn't sound like Belichick at all.
No, I don't know how Belichick talks.
You know how Belichick talks?
I can't imitate Bill Belichick. He doesn't have a voice that's easy to imitate. All right. There you go. Mike Gorman, every Wednesday on the show. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, listen, watch, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
We've got Hicks and Stanton, Sanchez and Duhar all injured right now. The 2-0. High deep drive right field. Kiss this one goodbye. It is gone into the second inning. Talkman with a 3-run homer. That is the first home run of his career.
Now, this is downright embarrassing. If you play for two more runs, you end up getting three with the home run. Little spinner again does nothing. Second deck.
7-0.
They might start playing New York now.
98.5, the Sports Sub, or Toucher and Rich. Real quick, I'm never going to say it on the air, but I know what happens to the Avengers and how it ends. You could ask me now, and I honestly wouldn't be able to tell you because it's all gobbledygook.
And you said you heard it from a friend of yours who said they saw the movie out in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Okay. Once again, just the people who are involved in the movie, from what we've been told, are the ones who know what happened. So
no, this person knows what happened.
Okay. Because there's spoilers that are out there that may or may not be right.
I have read nothing on the internet.
Okay.
Believe me. So the only person I'm willing to tell is Nick. And I got this email. Young Nicholas in the Avengers, you should wrap Nick's heart medication in something with the spoiler written on it. He must sacrifice to live. Or throw the spoiler in his pills like a fortune cookie. Again, Nick's will to live will be his Achilles heel. So those are all good ideas.
Like, would you rather die and see the movie?
Yes, exactly. When it came to that Batman movie, I bet you it would have been a 50-50 shot. He would say, I don't know if I want to live or I want to die.
Oh, man, I remember that. Nick is a different man now. He is. But that was wild back in the day when The Dark Knight came out. He wanted to see it so bad. And I remember we were all leaving, or I was leaving early for the screening, because it was when we used to be until 7, and the screening was at 7, and it was in Reading. It was at that Jordan's Furniture in Reading.
Man.
And we were all the way in Brighton.
That's a haul.
So I was like, at the latest, and this is like rush hour, I got to leave at 6. So Nick was going to go, too. Like, we had told Nick that he could go. And then at the last second, we said, Nick, you can go as soon as you do a perfect game of Operation. And we put it in front of him.
No, because we knew.
Just went, are you kidding? So, like, we just left the mic on him. And during that segment, you just keep hearing, damn it.
God. And then, okay, so he only stuck around because we knew he hated being on the show. So we knew he was only sticking around to see this dumb screener.
Sure.
Again, the movie was going to be out. This isn't even the Avengers, because what are you going to spoil about some Batman movie that's never been made before? Like, you can't really spoil anything.
Yeah, that's not really the same thing. You're right.
This is like a series of movies that is, this is the last one, right?
Yeah. It's like watching the finale of a TV show.
Like The Sopranos or something, right?
Right. Everyone wants to know how this ends.
Right. So for some reason, I don't know if he didn't have whatever it costs to see a movie in his pocket, but we knew he was just staying. In fact, the day before he was supposed to go to the screening, he was supposed to go to the screening, he came in with a Batman shirt on that we had been giving away his promo. So he'd gone into the promo closet and stolen a Batman shirt and worn it to work. Now, listen, Nick is a smart fella. And then he goes and we have him play Operation, and he's getting mad at us, especially me. Because, like, he might miss the movie. And I'm saying, you're going to quit. Like, F you.
And then he
sent it. Sure enough, that night after the movie, he sent an email saying he was done. But just the audacity of the kid to get mad at me. Because,
Nick is so embarrassed by all this.
The audacity of that kid to get mad at me. because he because I was like delaying him seeing a free movie, a movie.
We were kind of dicks. And we told him,
hang on. How are we being dicks?
Because we told him
we knew he was going to quit.
See, I didn't know he was going to quit.
Yes, you did. You don't remember it right.
I might not, but I thought I was
going to. No, you don't remember it right because we all knew he was leaving. We all knew he's because he then he and then we thought
Nick's shaking his head.
Oh, but you sent the email that night, dummy. Oh, he's lying. He's wrong. He's wrong. He absolutely sent the email that night.
Nick's coming in to set the record straight. All right.
No. I don't remember some things, but I certainly remember this because it was one of the all-time dumb things I've seen in my life is you coming in with that shirt. You stole a shirt and then you came into the show with it on. All right. We all knew you were leaving. We did. You were miserable.
I wasn't planning on leaving.
Yes, you were. You were miserable on the show at that point.
I wasn't happy on the show. Yeah, but I wasn't planning on leaving. There was something that happened that Friday, which was the day after the screening, that that you and I got in a fight on the air. And after that, you told me to go home and you told me to leave. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done.
No, that's not how it happened. I knew that you were leaving. We knew you were leaving after
you
that screening.
You weren't getting paid at that time, were you? So it's kind of like I'm not getting paid
I think
for
it
this
was street team.
Oh, is it okay? All right. So yeah, I you were like, this isn't worth the pay that I'm getting.
Three weeks later, he regretted it. But admit that you were planning to quit the day of the screening.
No,
please.
That wasn't it.
I remember.
And I remember it was you, me, Dungeon Master Jim, and we all went together. And I had
quite the triumvirate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. We were our own type of Avengers. We were the nerd Avengers.
Right.
But there was something that happened. I'm pretty sure you and I got in an argument. And then
what was the argument over?
We were I think it was a Booby Friday or something like that. We were having.
So, okay, there was an argument.
I was dating somebody at
the time. Very original.
I was dating someone at the time that hated the show because we did that type of stuff. And I didn't want to get in trouble with her. And there was something that you wanted me to do with the girls that were in studio and everything. And I said no. And you told me to leave. And when I was listening to the show on the way home, you were just bashing me, and I was just like,
No, you saw the screening, and then you sent an email saying that you were leaving. That's exactly what... There no doubt was a Booby Friday, probably where we got into
there's
it.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt there was probably a Booby Friday. What a concept.
It's a real clever name, too. Yeah,
well, no, how unclever the name was part of the joke.
So, what was the, what year was that?
2008.
Okay, 2008. All right. I'm going to try to find this email. Would you mind if I read this?
Do you have it?
Do you not erase your emails?
I don't erase
it. How do you still have it?
It's so weird because I was thinking about this the other day, and I think I would be able to pull it up.
Could you?
11 years ago?
Could you find the email when you quit the show? And then we can actually coordinate what date it was. Was it the screening?
I'm telling you, we knew he was leaving.
Sometimes Fred is a little hazy on details, but he's so certain. He's so certain that he has nailed this.
I might be off that he sent it right after the movie, but it was certainly the next day.
No, but and only coming at it from my perspective, I arrived on the show after this all happened. When you have described this particular day and this particular event, the details have been the same. That's all I can tell
you.
You said this, the way you're relating this story now has been the way you've related this story for the last 9 years, 10 years since I've been here.
No, I forget things that happen on the show all the time. We've done thousands of hours of radio in this town. And I know exactly that happened because I remember being incredulous that he was copying an attitude about not getting to the screening.
I just want to get
he was going to leave the next day.
I want to get to Rich for a second. Rich is a guy who will leave 15,000 unanswered emails on his phone.
Oh.
And yet you saved this one from 11 years ago.
No, it's not anything strange. It's just that I don't delete things.
Have a record of things that happened?
No, because deleting things takes time.
No, I think it's because you want a record.
I mean, that's a nice result of it, but also, why sit there and swipe and do that when you just don't need to? I mean, nowadays you have like as much storage as you possibly want, so why delete anything?
The second I get it, I delete it. Read what comes in at the top.
It's
a junk email. I mean, I wound up on email lists for local
stores. Why do you need to delete it?
Because you can organize it.
No, that's not just organizing. Clutter. It's just getting rid of it.
No, it's organizing.
It's clutter. What, are you going to read something? It's 1,000 emails down?
Yes, sometimes I have to do that.
See, I just have just a big list of emails.
So if you get an email, for instance, for one of your kids' sports, and it has like a schedule on it.
Oh, it's in there. Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, I know, but how do you find it?
I just search the name. Oh, or I search like the organization.
You're keeping those as a, because you're kind of paranoid. As has been emphasized on this show before by your own admission.
I'm definitely paranoid.
You are keeping those emails as a record of your conversations.
I mean, that's a nice result, but I'm not kidding. The real reason is that it just takes time to delete things. Why do that?
It takes a second.
Okay, but it's a second I don't want to have to. Why do it? There's no reason to do it. There's no reason to delete it.
There's no reason to keep everything either.
Well, yes, it is, because it's less time than deleting it.
No, I'm not buying that for a second. That it's a time issue. You're on Twitter 5 hours a day.
Sure.
But there's plenty of time.
I'm not going to, not to delete it. It's because I'm on Twitter. I'm not on my email, deleting emails. No, it takes more time to delete emails and organize than just to let it sit there. If I need to find something, it's easy to find. Just search the name.
Yeah, but if you search a name, first of all, sometimes you can forget the name and it's just the subject. And you can put
that's kind of easy, too, because I'll kind of know what the subject was.
No, but if you put the subject in, there can be 10,000 emails that have that word in it.
Okay, but I'll be able to find it, be able to scroll through it. I mean, I'm not going
to
be...
So you're going to have to scroll through 10,000 emails.
Like, if you said it was my son's baseball, I would put in the name of the organization. And then I'd put in the year, and you could find it.
Okay, but there could be, you know...
And that really happens. It really happens where I have to look for something.
Well, but then it would be like, say, how many years have you... What sport does your kid play?
He plays basketball, baseball.
Okay, so basketball. I mean, how many years have you played basketball?
Four.
Okay, so there's four seasons of basketball all in there. And if you put in basketball, I'm sure you have emails from about the Celtics.
No, because I know the guy who sends the email's name. I mean, it's easy.
Well, no, you forget. I mean, you know the commissioner of the league's name?
Yeah, the guy who sends all the emails, because his name's at the top of the email.
But you know, like the commissioner.
Yeah, you don't know the guy who runs the league?
The name of the guy? Well, I'm on the board. I don't know who runs NAA, no.
Okay, well, I know the name of the guy who runs all the leagues.
All right, but there's got to be stuff where you don't remember the guy's name, but there could be information that you have.
Sure, every once in a while it might be a little tougher to find something, but it's not that difficult.
Yeah, because I don't buy... you're keeping a record of...
It's pure laziness. I'm not kidding you. It's just, I don't want to delete it. Why delete it?
I don't know.
Just in case I may need it, it's there.
No, you go out of your way to do a lot of stuff.
That's not going out of my way. That's the exact opposite. It's the definition of not going out of my way. I don't do anything.
John, do you believe that it's a time issue?
No, I don't. I really, there's plenty of time. It doesn't take
It's both. I have no problem. I like keeping my emails.
I don't think it's a time thing. I mean,
You found the email?
All of the excuses, it's a time thing. It's just weird.
It's the main thing, but I like keeping the emails. I'm not denying that.
Okay, that's different than it being a time thing.
In situations like this, if we're looking for it for the show, I've got it there.
Did you find it?
I did not, but Nick has it.
Okay, but you couldn't find it.
I have not searched yet. Well, right. I have a ton of Jamelis, but
they're legit. Printed out the email.
There's so many emails and so much going on here.
Okay.
All right. Do you have the date?
Oh, my God, that's long. Is that the whole email?
Yeah. Wow. Can you find the email?
Okay,
I will find it. There's so many tests going on.
What's
so many things. We have to break. My head's spinning. So much drama. Here we go. Can Rich find the email?
I'm looking forward to this.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Tutcher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Billy Jaffe's here. We're going to talk about the Bruins in just a moment, but there is a dispute about how Nick first quit the show. I contend that Rich doesn't remember, correct?
No. My recollection was that he went to the screening and he like my recollection was that I didn't know he was going to quit. Like, it was a surprise. After the screening was done, I had no idea who was going to do it. And you said that you knew he was going to do it before the screening.
I knew it before the screening.
And Nick says,
he made it quite obvious that he was going to. All right, so
screening's
Wednesday night.
Yep. I found the actual email that was requesting the screenings. There's a guy I requested to pass for. I have no idea who he is.
Okay, so I kind of, it's probably the guy who ate the chips off the ground. All right, so
he still goes to the screenings.
This is only funny. It's not really funny, but it shows how our show has evolved. This is from 2008. Says I'm writing, first of all, this thing is really
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. Real night. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe's here. We're going to talk about the Bruins in just a moment, but there is a dispute about how Nick first quit the show. I contend that Rich doesn't remember, correct?
No. My recollection was that he went to the screening and I didn't know he was going to quit. Like, it was a surprise. After the screening was done, I had no idea who was going to do it. And you said that you knew he was going to do it before the screening.
I knew it before the screening.
And Nick says,
he made it quite obvious that he was going to. All right, so screening's Wednesday night.
Yep. I found the actual email that was requesting the screenings. There's a guy I requested to pass for. I have no idea who he is.
Okay, so I kind of, it's probably the guy who ate the chips off the ground. All right, so
he still goes to the screenings.
This is only funny. It's not really funny, but it shows how our show has evolved. This is from 2008. Says, I'm writing, first of all, this thing is really long. I'm writing today to give you my formal resignation from CBS and WBCN. I would like to go on record and clarify any confusion about the events of the past week that have caused disputes between me and the members of the Toucher and Rich show. By the way, resigning from CBS was really smart.
Should we let Nick read this in his own words?
Sure.
Nick's saying no, he doesn't want to.
Over the past year and a half, I've always been happy to do whatever I could to help out with the show and have taken orders with little complaint.
He was a great employee.
The only instances in which I have not, and you'll see why. The only instances in which I have not done exactly what you've asked of me is when I felt as though my reputation image was at stake. His reputation and image. What I mean by that is I have a life beyond WBCN and the Toucher and Rich show. I have family and friends. Oh, Nicholas, you should have stayed, dummy. I have family and friends that I do not want to be seen as the quote-unquote R word. I made out to be on the show. I may not be the smartest person, but I do have a mind of my own, and I don't want to take orders blindly, orders that would only benefit the content of the show and may even come back to bite me in the future. It's out of respect for myself and my friends and family that I choose to do not to do those few things. I might not be perfect, but I've always tried to get things right and to get things done. Now, I've tried to stress the fact that my goal in radio is to be behind the scenes in production, not an on-air personality. And I don't think that wearing a diaper in front of hundreds of people, for example, would be a good look for me when I try to pursue that goal.
What was that?
I don't know. Remember when we had him dress up like all in leather and go down to the gay pride in Providence? Or whatever it's called. I can understand how doing these bits would help me should I choose to pursue an on-air radio career, but that's not what I want to do with my life.
Hey, real quick, where were you in a diaper?
It was for Adolfo's 21st birthday. I was bucket boy. I had to wear a helmet and carry a bucket just in case.
Because you got drunk for the first time. I remember there being bucket boy.
I also had a shirt that said bucket boy.
And you were wearing a diaper?
Yeah.
Why?
This was at Tequila Rain.
Now, why did you have to wear a diaper?
I think I still have photos.
Now, why did you have to wear a diaper?
Because you made me.
Okay.
I know how that goes.
I can understand how doing those bits would help me should I choose to pursue an on-air radio career, but it's not what I want to do with my life. Perhaps I failed to relay this message, but it is what I mean by protecting my reputation. This is still his reputation. I understand the nature of the industry. I understand that ridiculous bits are what get on-air personalities' names out there and that those things can only act to enhance their images and further their careers. These same bits don't have the same effect, however, on someone looking to break through in a different part of the industry. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying that the guys in TNR are unstable. I'm simply saying the definition of stability.
What paragraph are we on?
Difference between the.
Honestly, like this is a scroll. Hear ye.
I will miss all the fun I had on the show and certainly learned a lot about the business. I believe this is best for me. However, my paychecks were only enough to cover the cost of gas in and out of the station 5 days a week. I have needed to quit for a while. I just haven't wanted to. I felt very attached and did not want to abandon the station or
Listen
show.
Listen to that loyalty. I love this.
You know,
that's why we brought you back, big
real
guy.
Loyal. During the recent weeks, however, I have discovered that the fun times were becoming few and far between, and my efforts for growth within the company were becoming futile, and ball-busting was becoming personal. Fred said I was selfish and spoiled, and that I took advantage of the show and the station, and did not like me as a person, and that I was easily replaceable. Where was I wrong? As you can see, you were easily replaceable. As you can see, there are many reasons for my resignation. Between everything, I finally... Like, no one was like, where's Nick? Between everything, I finally reached my breaking point Friday and realized what I had to do. And then blah, 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 blah.
Are you going to re-quit now after that, Nick? We're going to get another letter?
No, Nick knew 2 weeks after he left that was the wrong decision.
I know. And listen, to his point, we wanted him back. I wanted him back.
Well, when Adolfo was gone, when Adolfo left, yep.
But immediately,
you wanted Nick.
No question. I'm like, I want Nick.
You wanted Nick.
He's a hard worker. The dude busted his ass. And now we have his father.
Yep.
Which is really all we need.
That's right.
So
you can feel free to leave again. I don't know if we can get someone else to operate the Twitch. All right, Billy Jaffe's looking very bored. He's on his phone.
Hey, Billy.
He's looking put upon. He's getting paid.
He's wearing his Heroes Cup hat.
Nodding off.
Oh, whoops.
He's got the high profile going there with the hat.
Yeah, he's like, you're wasting my time, kid.
How'd it go?
And to that, I'd say you're getting paid.
How was the tournament? Did you? Oh, you're not? Okay.
No.
Did you guys?
He gets paid.
Were there a bunch of military dudes beating the snot out of each other at this tournament?
Some, but yeah, fantastic event.
What'd you shoot?
4 under.
Okay.
we had a great time. I played in a couple of the games, couldn't play at all. Played in 2 of the 3, won one, lost one. And the one first game against Worcester Fire, guys from the bench were chirping me, and they, why does Toucher and Rich want somebody, one of us to run you? I don't understand that. I don't know if you remember.
Was that a warning? Was that a warning to you?
I think it was a warning slash incredulously wanted to know why. What kind of an ass are you?
Did you get run on? I didn't.
No, I didn't. Okay. We had a great time. We lost, and that game 4-3 or 5-4, I don't remember. Awesome guys, though. They were having beers before, and they offered me one. I had to run in. I couldn't. But then played the next morning, and we won. Played Nashua. I believe they were police, another group of good guys. And then the afternoon game, I couldn't play. Team lost, and then we didn't make it to the final weekend. But the Danger Close, the name of the team I played with, a lot of the Skate for 22 guys, it was one of their teams, which is an amazing group that I do a lot of work, or not a lot of work, hang out with, do a hockey camp with, et cetera. And 102 teams it ended up being. 102 teams in 4 divisions from around the actually from around North America.
They run out of beer again? Because I know that like last year apparently they did.
That I have no idea. I can tell you this. The individuals outside didn't run out of beer. Everybody was well stocked. There were RVs. There were barbecues. There were events. The whole Heroes Cup, Be Fit, you know, Johnny Whiteside is involved with that. He used to be the Bruins strength and conditioning coach. He's involved. He runs Be Fit and the amazing event that they put together. It's really impressive. That's not easy.
Yeah.
That is not easy, and it goes well. There's always a few guys. I think one of the guys that I didn't, my team that played on the last day, I don't remember who they were. There was one guy that was drunk on the ice, and he was being an ass. I wasn't there, but he was running around. And you know, there's always that guy on every couple of games. There's that, you know, one thing to be physical. It's no check, but it's a little physical, which
sure.
is fine. But they, you know, they're being a tough guy, and whatever. You just hopefully that guy doesn't hurt somebody yourself or that they care about. But otherwise, awesome tournament at that Marlboro rink where they have 10 sheets right now. So looking for, you know what? Already planning for next year. Met some great guys. Got to play with some great guys that I didn't know. And so that was a lot
Next
of
time you're bringing Dale Arnold out there, and he's going to play.
Enforcer.
Yeah, Enforcer. Yes. That's right. He's going to be your Sean Thornton.
That's how I always saw him. He's going to skate on the box he stands
yeah.
on.
Yeah, we had a few snipes, a few everything. It was fun. It was a good time. Thanks for, and yeah. thank you. All kidding aside, thanks for helping promote it. And I know that they really appreciate what 98.5 did.
All right, Billy, that was far too long. All right, so with the, people can see that.
On Twitch.
Billy gave me the finger. Billy... okay, so we only have a little time before our first break, but, you know, Cassidy has said, and I don't know why he would tell you if he was going to do something different, but he said he's not breaking up the top line.
Not right away.
Right. And so, in your opinion, what does that mean?
That means that this is what's going to happen tonight. He's starting with those guys. He wants, you know, they had a chat yesterday, a little meeting. Talk about some things that they'd like to alter, do a little bit. You know, these guys are creative, though, too. You know, some you can plan as much as you want, but the beauty of these guys and the best hockey players in the world, any athlete, is their ability to improvise at that moment's notice because they've done it so many times, it becomes rote. But there'll be a short, does that mean a period? I don't have an exact amount of time. But if they're not producing, we've seen it before, and Bruce hasn't done it as much in these three games. The manipulation of the line, in particular the right side, he does that the most. So his Pasternak would be in play. Dan Heinen could be in play. A Wagner could be in play, meaning moving around in the lineup. What does that mean? Do you double shift Pasta or do you just switch the lines? I think there would be a shift in lines.
Oh, no, would they react? Would Tampa Bay have to react or would they keep everything the same?
Toronto.
I'm sorry, Toronto. Yeah, would Toronto react or would they keep everything the
That's
same?
That's one of the questions. You know, do they think that Pasternak is the biggest their biggest fear, so to speak? If that's their target, then they will react to it. And what does that mean? Does it mean that they're going to take the Tavares line and put that completely against whether it's Krejci or Coyle line? Or are they just going to manipulate, you know, move their D pair? And say to Jake Muzzin and Zaitsev, hey, right, you guys are going to go against Pasternak when he goes there. Muzzin's had a pretty good, you know, not one-on-one, but a lot of meetings with David Pasternak. He's at, you know, especially last game.
Yeah, they certainly seem to be focusing on him because he's getting knocked around quite a bit.
Well, and you're right. This has been a tale of three different series in games. You know what I mean? One game was first game was kind of like vomit inducing from a Bruins perspective. It was euphoric for Toronto. Game two was absolutely amazing if you're a Bruins fan. I mean, that was, it had a combination of old school and new school together. And then game three was a lot of good, some not great, but pretty good, meaning it was a playoff game. It was a playoff game.
But throughout all three, that first line has been underperforming.
It has been underproducing. Yes, they've done a good job going against John Tavares, but they have underproduced offensively than what we're used to seeing. I still say, and I said it last week, and I said it on Nesson, the Bruins utilize the lateral play, the east-west play, an awful lot. That's what makes them so special, right? We see them zip and zip and zip and zip. Zipping the puck around east-west sometimes doesn't work in playoffs as much. It just doesn't. Because you know what? Guys that normally don't back check are back checking. Mm. We saw that in the Tampa Columbus series. Holy smokes, did Columbus back pressure hard. I mean, they took Tampa completely out of their play. We're seeing Toronto. I did not see this defense from Toronto the last 14 games of the season. Hell no. I mean, there are players doing things, and you have to, you don't have to like it, but you have to, from a hockey perspective, you say, okay, they're doing it. Now the Bruins can't play into it. They need to start doing a little more chip, a little more recover, and a little less of this. I'll make one more pass. Screw that. Shoot the puck.
All right. We'll take a break. Billy Jaffe in studio 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.